Good morning. Please note that this morning we will be following the order of worship as you find it printed in your worship service bulletin. We open our service with prayer. Heavenly Father, we've come to worship you. Draw near to us through your gracious word and assure us of your loving kindness. Curb our wandering thoughts, that with undivided attention we may hear your voice and sing your praise. Open our hearts by your Holy Spirit to the proclamation of your word, so that we repent of our sins, trust in Jesus as our Savior, and grow in grace and holiness. In his holy name we pray. Amen. Welcome to all of you to this worship service in the name of Christ Jesus, our Savior, and a worship service that will be focusing our attention and our thoughts on the great riches, true riches, lasting and permanent riches that are ours in Christ as part of the kingdom of the Lord, whom he pours out upon us richly during our lives here, and finally, in greatest of all measures, later. We pray that the Spirit of our God be poured out upon us as we worship our Savior in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have come into the presence of our God who created us to love and serve him as his dear children, but we have disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I'm altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways, I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you all of your sins by the perfect life and the innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to His will. Amen. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Glory to God, we give you thanks and praise of heavenly and we worship you, to you our hearts we raise. Lord God, Almighty Father, Heavenly King. Lord Jesus Christ, the Father's only Son, you bore for us the load of this world's sin. O Lamb of God, your glorious victory won, receive our prayer, grant us your peace within. Alone, O Christ, you only are the Lord, at God's right and in majesty most high, with the Spirit worshipped and adored, with all the heavenly host we glorify. Let us pray. O God, the protector of all who trust in you, without whom nothing is strong and nothing is holy, increase and multiply your mercy on us, that with you as our ruler and guide, we may so pass through the things that are temporal, that we lose not the things eternal. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Good morning. Today's text, or today's first lesson, is found recorded in 1 Kings chapter 3, somewhat familiar account of the Lord appearing to King Solomon and inviting him to ask for anything that he wished, and the Lord would grant it to him. And the Lord granted Solomon great wisdom in praying for the very precious heavenly treasure of wisdom, spiritual wisdom. The reading is in 1 Kings 3, verse 5 and following. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" Solomon said, "You've shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You've continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in, and your servant is in the midst of your people whom you've chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, "Because you've asked this thing, and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I've done according to your words. See, I've given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you." So far, the first reading. invite you now to join in the responsive reading of verses from Psalm 119. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Make me to walk in the path of your commandments. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things. Establish your word to your servant. Behold, I long for your precepts. And our next lesson is drawn from Paul's epistle to the Christians at Rome in the 8th chapter, beginning with the 28th verse, in which we hear about as one of the nuggets of wisdom the Lord grants us as his people, as his believers, that he even uses things that are difficult and painful in our lives to work for our blessing. Romans 8:28 to 30. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Here ends the second lesson. Blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. Alleluia.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These words are written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
But you now to arise for our confession of faith, the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Grace be multiplied to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's text we find written in Matthew 13, verses 44 through 52. Words of Jesus, where He says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that's hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Jesus said to them, "Have you understood all these things?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old." So far, our text. In the name of Jesus, our all-compassionate Savior, dear friends, notable teaching method that Jesus used during the days of his ministry was storytelling. He was a master storyteller. And he did this, of course, not to entertain listeners, but so that he might bring home to their hearts in a way that they could latch onto more easily important truths that he wanted them to know for their lives as his disciple followers here in this present world and then in the eternal world that's to come. Today's text contains four mini parables of Jesus that he intends also for our instruction, for our faith's strengthening as his 21st century disciple followers. And in each of them, he teaches things relating to the very important subject of the kingdom of heaven. Or in the words of our theme, what is the kingdom of heaven like? So let's unpack these parables as best we can in the limited time we have together this morning. And let's learn from Jesus that the kingdom of heaven is like buried treasure and a priceless pearl. It's like a dragnet filled with both good and bad fish. It's like a homeowner who possesses a treasure trove of old things and new things for his own use and enjoyment and for doling out to others for their blessing too. So we pray as we begin our discussion, sanctify us, O Lord, by your truth, your word is truth. Amen. So let's begin with the first two mini parables. Jesus, in the first of the two, he tells the story of a man who, while digging out in his field, of which he perhaps was the renter, unexpectedly discovers a treasure that somebody had buried in the ground. May have been that the previous owner of this land parcel had buried that treasure, but then had died before informing anybody about it. Be that as it may, now this man, he's out in that field, he's doing some digging, and he discovers it. And then he quickly covers it back up to keep it safe. And then he sold everything that he had to buy that parcel of land with the treasure. The second mini parable, Jesus tells of a wholesale merchant who, dissatisfied with the pearls he'd been able to obtain up to that point, went on a search for the very best, and in the course of his quest, found an exceedingly rare specimen, so exquisite that he also was willing to sell everything he owned just to buy that extra special pearl. In both parables, we see how Jesus compares his kingdom, which he founded by his death and resurrection and rules over in the hearts of his people by his gospel word, to items of exceedingly high value. And he's picturing also the quest, especially in the second of the many parables, the quest all people are involved with during their earthly lives. Everyone's a treasure hunter. They're searching for something that will answer the deepest yearning of their hearts and that will provide them with true happiness. Been that way ever since the fall into sin in the beginning. There's been that empty spot in the hearts and lives of all people because everyone by nature is separated from God by their sin. And God has planted into the hearts of all people a natural knowledge of Him, that there's a God, there's right and wrong, there's a final day of reckoning. And He's also given all people that thing called the conscience that bears witness to His existence, accusing them of wrongdoing or excusing them, causing a deep spiritual restlessness, searching for what's missing, something to fill that void. That explains, friends, why wherever you travel on earth, or whatever period of history you examine, virtually every people has had a god or gods that they have worshipped. And also why, when many mainline Christian denominations veer away from preaching the precious gospel of Christ crucified and risen, and rejected the Bible as the verbally inspired word of God, the only source of religious truth, why so many cults have sprung up with man-made beliefs about God and a way to get right with Him on their own. And also why many try to fill that empty spot in their hearts with earthly pleasures and things that money can buy. But you know this, no system of religion based on work righteousness, no cult religion invented by man, no amount of money can bring a person's soul real happiness. The joy these things provide, just a mirage or a temporary fix. True blessedness comes only through the knowledge that you have a gracious Heavenly Father who sent His Son Jesus in love to make good for your sins, to bestow on you the treasure of His forgiving love and a close relationship with Him that's never going to end. That's why, and you can see this during Jesus' ministry, two examples doling out these treasures to people. Remember the story of the paralyzed man brought to Him on a stretcher by his friends? First thing Jesus said to him was, remember, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you, before healing his body. And why that man went home carrying his bed, truly happy, not only with a healthy body, but especially with a healthy soul. Another example, when Jesus told the sinful woman, remember that story? He came into the home of Simon the Pharisee and wet Jesus' feet with her tears and wiped them dry with her hair. Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven you as a repentant child of God. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. And she left with a happy bounce in her steps. That's the preciousness of God's kingdom, a prayer we also want to keep praying, given the materialistic world we live in, where many try to find joy in the wrong places. We want to pray, wisdom's highest, noblest treasure, Jesus, can be found in you. Let me find in you my pleasure, make my will and actions true. Humility there and simplicity reigning, In paths of true wisdom, my steps of her training. If I learn from Jesus this knowledge divine, then the blessing, the treasure of heavenly wisdom is mine. And not only is this treasure of God's gracious rule in our hearts with his forgiving love so precious, it's also, because it is so precious, worth making sacrifices for, to obtain and to keep. It's especially brought out by Jesus in the second of the two mini parables. It's worth getting up early, maybe losing some sleep time on Sunday morning to come to God's house to get. Worth setting time aside to watch services and to hear the word online and live streaming when we cannot be at God's house. It's worth giving up personal comforts and advantages, you parents, to help your children to acquire it. It's worth setting time aside from a hectic work schedule to sit down with your Bible and to read it, and to rejoice to know that as we seek God's kingdom first, he'll add all the things of lesser value that we need for our earthly lives and our children's earthly lives too. He's not going to shortchange us. Paul told the Corinthians, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. But let's go on to the next parable where Jesus teaches more about God's kingdom. He says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew it to shore, sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. It was quite natural for Jesus to use an illustration like that when talking to fishermen who used fishing gear perhaps just like that on a daily basis. Dragnets were a big square net with cords at each corner with floats on top or corks and weights on the bottom edge so that it hung, as it were, upright in the water. And then when the boat began to move through the water, the net was then drawn into the shape of a big cone into which many varieties of fish were caught. And then the fishermen would drag that net ashore, carefully sort through their catch, discard the useless fish, perhaps the carp or the catfish, keep the good ones, the trout, the tilapia, put them into vessels. Meaning of that parable? By the sea, Jesus is picturing the vast world, and by the fish, the people. The casting of the net into the sea is the preaching of his word, by which God captures people for his kingdom, that they might live for his praise and serve him now, and live with him and serve him in great joy in heaven. The fishermen are his Christians. Remember what Jesus said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. And as Christians cast the gospel net, the sharing of the word of the Lord, all kinds of folks are gathered into the visible church. That is, into visible Christian congregations like St. Paul and all the other visible churches that there are in the world. And then the time is coming when the fishing work will be done, the net drawn ashore on the last day, and when the Lord will use, as Jesus says, his angels to separate the bad from the good, that is, his true believers from those who are only part of the church in an outward way, taking his believers into heaven while discarding unbelievers into hell. By this picture, dear friends, Jesus is reminding us, as he does in lots of places, of the reality of course, heaven, and then also of hell. And we, his Christians, need Jesus to remind us also of not only heaven, but of hell, because we have that sin nature that can lead us astray from the Lord, and we need the Lord in love to warn us about the danger of the sin of hypocrisy, that is, of being content with being just outwardly a part of His church, but not in our hearts truly looking to Him, trusting in Him, and worshiping Him as our Savior from sin and from death. And so we ask Him as His dear believers to help us guard against that sin of, remember another story of Jesus of the Pharisee and the tax collector? Pharisee in the front of the temple stood up and prayed about it, said, God, I thank you, I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, and adulterers, or even like that tax collector. But we ask the Lord to help us always to keep the blessed attitude of that humble tax collector who stood afar off, wouldn't even lift his eyes to heaven, beat his chest in sorrow, and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And you may recall what Jesus said at the end of the parable, that the tax collector went home blessed beyond measure, possessing the precious pearl and the treasure of forgiveness and life everlasting. That's the faith we ask the Lord to always preserve in us. And we're happy to know that one day His angels are going to gather us with all true believers into His heavenly kingdom for His mercy's sake. There's one other parable Jesus shared that day containing important lessons for our faith lives. It's the one where He says that every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and things old. What's that all about? Here Jesus is teaching us that everyone who has been instructed in the saving truths of His word, as we have, it's like a person who owns a home that is filled with all kinds of valuables, some new, some old. I mean, don't you have maybe some antiques at home that have been in the family for years that are very valuable? Heirlooms and things perhaps you purchased at the store not long ago, maybe a laptop computer, a piece of living room furniture, a shiny kitchen appliance. So what's the meaning of this? It's that God has given to us as Christians many treasures, precious truths of the Bible, both old and new. What do you mean by that? Well, think of the old treasures you possess. Think of the story of Christmas. There's born to you this day in the city of David a Savior. Think of the Easter message. He's not here, He has risen just as He said. Or think of hymns that we sing here at church, rich in gospel comfort, many of which have been around for a while. Like, a mighty fortress is our God, a trusty shield and weapon, He helps us free in every need that has us now or taken. We would call that hymn, and many others, oldies but goodies. And we never tire of singing them. We never tire of hearing these truths and sharing them with our children and with each other here at church and with visitors to our worship services, these old blessed truths of Holy Scripture. What about the new treasures? Well, don't think of new in the sense of being just newly given. I mean, God has indeed given everything that we need to know and believe for our lives as His people in the Bible, written long ago by holy men of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit. But consider, isn't it true, dear friends, that there are truths that have been around for a long time, presented in the Old Testament books written over 2,000 years ago, or the New Testament books way back in the first century AD, so they're not new in time. But when you read them and you study them, or maybe you hear the pastor preach about them, that the Lord leads you to see them in a whole new light. And it's application to your life right now to comfort your hearts anew, to guide your lives anew. As we just sang in a hymn last Sunday, oh, may these heavenly pages be my ever dear delight, and still new beauties may I see, and still increasing light. Two examples from the Bible, Saul of Tarsus, news of a Savior was promised long past to come and crush the head of the serpent, defeat the devil. It had been shared by God's prophets for hundreds of years. What it meant for Saul of Tarsus personally, he didn't know about, but thanks to the Lord's work in his heart, he was brought from unbelief to faith and from being a Jesus hater into being an eager gospel spreader and a world-class missionary. Man of Ethiopia's story comes to mind when Philip instructed him on the Gaza highway about the Isaiah prophecy long years ago, the lamb who would go to the slaughter without opening his mouth. New light was shed on that man, on the one whom Isaiah had been talking about, and then he confessed his faith in the Savior, got baptized, went on his way rejoicing. A new man. That ever happened to you, reading the Bible? Suddenly the Spirit's leading you to come to view a passage in a new light, to understand it better, how it applies to you. Maybe something you were going through, a difficult time, and all of a sudden, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, took on a new beautiful meaning. Or at a funeral of a loved one, Jesus' words, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, will live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Took on a very special, comforting meaning. Very true what one of the Old Testament writers says, that the Lord's mercies may be as old as the hills, but they are new to us every morning. So praise be to our gracious, benevolent, generous God. May he continue to prosper our endeavors to take these treasures of his kingdom, to use them for our blessed comfort, and then also to share them for the blessing of others. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, shall guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Gain we a clean heart, O God, and renew our right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold with your Spirit free.
We remain seated for our prayers this morning. We have several special petitions in addition to our sermon prayer and Lord's Prayer. First, we desire to offer a petition on behalf of Doug Tiefel and Willem A. Jansen. Doug was hospitalized last week temporarily, treated for pneumonia and flu and also for a heart ailment. And Willem A. Underwent skin surgery last week. We also offer a prayer of comfort for the family of Linda Heinrissi, sister-in-law of Bobby Breathauer. And then also a prayer on behalf of the members of Trinity Lutheran Church of Spokane, Washington, many of whom have been ordered to evacuate because of encroaching wildfires out west. So we also offer prayer for them. Heavenly Father, we turn to you in behalf of Doug and Willa and ask for your comfort, strength, and healing. Be gracious to them, and if it be your will, renew their strength and make them well again. Cause them to recognize that also in days of physical weakness, You are actively engaged in their lives, seeking through these things to draw their hearts closer to you. Comfort them with the knowledge that you are ever near and are ruling their lives with your love. Direct their attention to your word, causing them to search it with diligence, to find there your compassion that freely lends help in trouble, healing for wounds, relief from pain, and most important and precious of all, forgiveness for all our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. And Heavenly Father, you've called to yourself from this valley of sorrows the soul of Linda Heinrichsee. We ask that you would enable the members of her family to accept her death as an act of your infinite wisdom and boundless mercy, whereby you've given her a great and wonderful blessing. When she was yet in this world, she was absent from her heavenly home. Now, through death, she's entered your house to enjoy forever the room Christ has prepared for her there. Heaven, your home, is now her dwelling place forever. We thank you that all who trust in Jesus find life in dying. With this faith, may we also look forward to leaving this world of sin and to be joined to you and your heavenly household forever. In our Savior's name, amen. And Heavenly Father, our refuge and strength, we also commend to your gracious care all those threatened by the wildfires in and around Spokane. Preserve life, protect homes and livelihoods, and grant safety to firefighters, emergency workers, and all who are evacuating. We especially ask your merciful protection for our brothers and sisters in the CLC whose families and property are in danger. Calm the winds, restrain the flames, and strengthen all with the confidence that you remain our ever-present help in every trouble. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, amen. Almighty and everlasting God, who searches all hearts, knows all thoughts, and sees all things, both evil and good, grant us as we approach the throne of your grace true humility and sorrow over our sins. We beseech you, Lord, do not remember the sins of our youth or our many transgressions, but according to your tender mercy, pardon our iniquity on account of Jesus Christ, your Son. Graciously give us a true understanding of your word, so that we may be guided in every facet of our lives, and that we may clearly see the path to everlasting life. Keep before us the warnings and the encouragements of the Holy Scriptures. Enable us to learn by the examples we find in the Bible what things you would have us do. Help us to keep your commandments with joy, so that we may do the work that you've given us to do while it is day, before the night comes when no one can work. Dear Father, glorify your name in all the earth and send forth willing workers to proclaim the gospel of reconciliation with wisdom, love, and boldness, so that great numbers out of every nation shall trust alone in Christ and be saved. Keep our country and people within your care, that honor and honesty, truth and integrity may be upheld, and that all lawlessness, wickedness, and rebellion may be put down. In particular, we pray for our elected officials and all who bear responsibility for our government, that they may be endowed with wisdom that is in accord with your will. Guard and defend our homes so that parents may be kept in the bonds of love and godliness and may raise their children well, nourishing them in truth and righteousness. Heavenly Father, who did not spare your own Son but gave him up for us all, according to your mercy, grant these and all other needs that you see in our hearts. We ask it in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We also join to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
So
that you just stand for the liturgy that continues on towards the top of page 6. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who promised that wherever two or three come together in his name, there he is with them to shepherd his flock till he comes again in glory. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The same way also he took the cup after supper, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is poured out for you for the remission of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
O Christ our Lord, whose blood once shed, true life restored, impart your joy, our faith increase. Sustain with your mercy and grant us your peace.
Please arise for the closing liturgy on middle of page 7.
Lord, now let your servant seen the glory of your redeeming grace, the light to the Gentiles, to your holy hill, glory of your people, your chosen Israel. Glory to the Father, glory to the Son, all glory to the Spirit, forever three in one. For as in the beginning is now, shall ever be, God's triune name resounding through all eternity.
Go in peace, serve the Lord with gladness.
Become your dwelling, O blessed Holy Trinity. With angels I your praises telling, shall live in joy eternally. Lord, may your body and your blood be for my soul the highest good.
And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. 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 Praise to the Lord, O let all that is in me adore him. That has life and health, come now with praises before him. Let the amen sound from his people again, gladly forever